Welcome to Studio 889. I'm DJ Mo Wilkes, host of The Secret Spot, heard exclusively on 88.9 WERS, WERS.org. And it's summertime, thank goodness. The temperature is warmer. A lot of people are getting a chance to be comfortable, getting outside a whole lot more, which is definitely something that I appreciate. And summertime, especially June, means Black Music Month, and it also means the Boston Art Music Soul Festival, BAMS Fest, is going to be hitting the Boston area June 29th and 30th. And I have one of the performers, one of the participants in this great festival. He goes by the name of Where's Nasty. We're going to get into his name. We're going to get into what, you know, you can actually expect to check out when you go to BAMS Fest and a whole lot more. And he's a great producer. Welcome to Studio 88.9 and WERS, Where's Nasty.
How you doing?
What's good, man? How you been?
Good, man. Coming off a busy weekend. Just had my own festival up in Rhode Island called Day Trill. About 4,000 people. Made it through the rain, so I'm just feeling good. I'm feeling grateful today, you know?
Nice. All right. We have to chop it up about, you know, the creation of a festival itself, but you're actually going to be coming from Providence, where you're from, to Boston. So you're kind of like our next door neighbor, basically.
Yeah, I always say, like, Boston's like my, you know, my cousin.
All right, cuz. So how long have you been a DJ producer? Tell us about your journey.
So I first started off making my own music, just rapping. I felt like that was, like, what was most accessible to me growing up, like just being a teenager. Came up in a generation that was, like, you know, the first time you could record music in your house, like off a home computer. You didn't need a big studio. And at that time, DJing was a lot more expensive. It was like a little bit before Serato. So that wasn't really accessible to me at that time. I get to high school, you know, I'm selling CDs, my mixtapes, my own music. And I decided to throw a party to promote my own music. So when I throw this party, you know, like a few hundred kids come out, you know, people should start asking me, yo, when's the next one? When's the next one? So I would say I got into throwing parties by complete accident. And from there, it led me into DJing because I always wanted to DJ. You know, it was just something that, like, when you 15, 16 years old, it's tough to afford a set of turntables at that time. It's not like now where they're, like, it's a little bit more accessible. You can buy controllers and things like that. So when I finally got enough money to get my own set of turntables when I went to college, I started DJing parties, making my own mixtapes. You know, from there, like, even leading to the present day, what I got going on with Stay Silent based in Providence. I own a nightclub. I produce festivals. And this all comes from, you know, just throwing that first party when I was 16.
Wow, 16 years young. That's pretty cool. So you got your first turntables. Can you remember the first records you actually bought?
Man, I don't see. So it's interesting because I came up, like, in the Serato era. But the first record, so it's interesting in my neighborhood. And I want to salute two DJs, DJ Lefty and DJ Max Major. DJ Lefty is, like, my OG, you know, guy from my neighborhood, legendary DJ that I watched and learned under. And Max Major, I used to help him throw some parties when even before I was DJing. I used to help him throw some parties. And he was still on record, so I used to have to help carry his record. So I want to give a salute to him. But the first record I always remember randomly finding in my neighborhood, like just playing outside, and it was just like on the ground somewhere, like almost like beat up, was All About the Benjamins, the Bad Boy Family. So I always remember like taking that record home, and just abusing my father's record player. And it was his record player wasn't a direct drive turntable, mm-hmm. So it's not meant for scratching. So I was just there acting a fool on it, and I felt like that gave me the bug early on.
Any OGs that were outside of your neighborhood that you actually consider like DJ influences, like maybe Jazzy Jeff or anybody else like that?
Oh yeah, for sure, man. I mean, for me, I've been blessed to be able to travel, you know, around the country playing a party called Deuce Palooza, which was at one time called Henny Palooza. And it was at one time, I would say, like the biggest Black party coming out of New York. So, you know, they're doing like the whole HBCU circuit. And so I got to see a lot of DJs up close and personal, like Kid Capri. I got to see Mr. C, God rest his soul, up close and personal. And these are guys like I really, really studied. Like, I got to sit there and watch Clark Kent. Even even for me, like in my own neighborhood, you know, I came up watching legends, like I said, DJ Lefty, DJ Ruckus, DJ S-Class, DJ ASAP, Franchise. These are guys I got to like watch, you know, like stand behind them and really watch them DJ. And even, you know, more recently, like even guys like who are around my age range, you know, I came up with the DJ Real P, who's legendary in Boston, Chubby Chubb, legendary in Boston. I got to watch like all these guys like super, super close. And I felt like it, you know, that's what made me as sharp as I am now.
Big up to DJ Chubby Chubb, as well as Real P. I've actually heard of a DJ, I think he's out of Providence. His name was DJ Buck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. So it's interesting because DJ Buck is super OG in Rhode Island. He's actually the program director at Hot 93.7 in Connecticut now. And DJ Buck is like a guy, like, there used to be a record store out here that also was in Boston, Skippy White's.
Yep.
DJ Buck used to work there. DJ Buck used to be on the radio out here. So I wasn't, when DJ Buck was heavy in the clubs in Rhode Island, I wasn't really of age to be able to attend like his parties. But, you know, his influence was definitely felt because he's somebody you would just see in the community and always just hear about his contribution, you know. And I've actually been able to build a relationship with DJ Buck since then.
Very cool. My new DJ friend, Where's Nasty? I got to ask, how did the name come about?
So this goes back to, my real name is Jason. And when I was a kid, like going back to recording it, my first studio session, I remember bugging my cousin. Yo, to the studio, C&J Records, RIPCR the Beast. That was his studio. And, you know, I was like bugging him, like, yo, I want to go to the studio. I got these songs I want to record. And I'm like in the sixth grade. And he's like, all right, you're going to have to save up your money. And then you're going to have to come up with a name. So whatever, I saved up whatever, like the $30 it was for the hour to go record. And then my cousin was like, yo, you still need a name. So what he did is, my cousin Umberto gave me the name Jay Nasty, putting together Jay-Z, Nas, and Janet Jackson.
Ooh.
So it's like a homage.
Yeah.
To, at that point, two of my favorite artists and then his favorite artist, which is Janet Jackson.
Okay. So Jay Nasty was what it started out to be, but you're going by Where's Nasty on the bill at Bam's Fest. Give me a little bit more insight. Chopping it up with Where's Nasty, and now I know where the name comes from. You're going to be at Bam's Fest June 29th. If people don't know, Bam's Fest is June 29th and June 30th over at Franklin Park in Boston. Have you been to Bam's Fest before?
So I have, and I also played a virtual Bam's Fest during COVID. You know, like the organizers for a while, we've had a great relationship. And they, you know, we've been trying to make this happen for years. So I'm glad to finally be able to play this in person. Because, you know, Catherine, she always showed me a lot of love.
Are you going to be doing anything with another performer off of somebody?
Nah, just me. Just off the energy. Like me, like one of the biggest things I take pride in DJing is I really don't prepare too much before I go in. Like, I just like to just see what the energy is when I get to the venue and just go off the energy of who's there, just kind of filling out who's in the room. So it's never the same thing all the time, you know?
Very cool. What's the best sound system you've ever actually played on?
Man, wow. that I would say Brooklyn Mirage. Like, that venue is insane. Brooklyn Mirage is like an outdoor venue. It's deep in Brooklyn. It's like all warehouses around it, and it's incredible. Like, they do all types of concerts over there. So I've seen like Kate Trinata play there.
Ooh.
So it's, you know, it's one of those type of venues. So like, to be able to play in there was insane.
You've done like, you know, the college scene, you've done the club scene. Is a festival scene any different?
No, I think for me, I just always try to approach everything with a nightclub energy. I think sometimes when you go to festivals, you know, people, they're not there to party, in a sense. Like, you go to festivals and they're kind of just looking at the stage and watching people. So to me, I like to just break up that energy when I'm DJing and just setting the mood, just setting the vibe, just saying like, yo, like, we can party. Like, you don't have to stare at me while I'm DJing. Like, I'm just setting the intention in the space.
Do you ever have go-to songs? Okay, it's like, I got these top five songs I gotta, like, you know, throw out there. I'm gonna, you know, depending on how they react to these songs, I'll know which direction to take this thing.
I won't say I have a top five. I just know pretty much anytime I DJ, I'm gonna play Junior Reed, One Blood. And to me, I always joke. I say anywhere where they don't like Shaka Dean and Supplies, Murder She Wrote, is not a place that I need to be DJing. So for me, I know if you don't like Shaka Dean, Murder She Wrote, then you know we're not on the same frequency.
Well, I know Boston's got a big up definitely to the Massives because we love our reggae around here. In case you didn't know, you probably already knew that.
Nah, but for sure, for sure.
Any similarities or differences between Providence and Boston audiences you noticed?
Yeah, I would say Providence leans a little bit more Latin heavy. So Providence, you have a lot of Dominicans, but you also have Cape Verdeans, Nigerians, Liberians, Ghanaians, which are heavy in Boston as well. So I'll say the Latin influence is definitely the biggest difference that I notice in from Providence and Boston. Whereas in Boston, you have a lot more like Jamaicans, Haitians, and people from the Caribbean, from those parts of the Caribbean.
Very true. Very true. Chopping it up with DJ Where's Nasty, who's going to be over at BAMS Fest, which is coming up Saturday and Sunday, June 29th, June 30th, Franklin Park Playstead. Getting kind of a DJ insight of what to expect. It's going to be an amazing festival. Actually, you kind of tempted me at the beginning. You talked about a festival that you actually helped curate. What's the name of that again?
So that festival is called Daytru. We've been doing it for 11 years now. Last year, we celebrated 10 years of that. So just happy, you know, that's like in Providence, we call it a holiday. We do it twice in the summertime. This past weekend, we just did it in the rain, 4,000 people. It was incredible.
That's a lot of people. Now, were you just the only performer or provider there? Were there other people there with you?
No, so for this one, it was myself, Tofu, who's also from Massachusetts, Dana Liu from New York City, and then we have Silentmatic, who's a DJ group consisting of Creep Chromatic and Silent Addy from Jamaica by way of Miami, Florida.
Nice lineup. So you've done one already. Are you doing another one before the summer's over?
Yeah, our next one's August 31st. First time we're doing this brand new venue in downtown Providence. I'm excited. It's going to be an amazing lineup. I can't really talk about that yet, but it'll be more detail soon.
Very cool. Only a couple more questions I wanted to throw at you. I noticed that you do some graphic design. Is that true?
So I'm not a graphic designer, but rewind. So to give you the picture with like Day Trail, the festivals, and the club, I own a company called Stay Silent. With that company, it's basically a creative agency, and also we do event production. So all of the design comes under Stay Silent. We have an art director by the name of Rue, who's been doing all of our design. My partner and I, Sabrina, we do all of the creative direction. So, you know, like we have basically a full service creative agency, and we produce all of our stuff in-house.
I like that. The DJ world is kind of expanding. The online world of DJing has just exploded. Can you share your thoughts about that?
Yeah, to me, I think the DJ has always been at the pulse of what's going on. And I think for a little while, because of changes, mixtapes were really, really relevant in the community. And then when everything transitioned to the internet and they started doing raids on mixtape stores and not allowing DJs to put out mixtapes, I think culturally, you know, we took a really big hit because it didn't really allow DJs to be in the forefront. You know, that the mixtape culture was a big thing for the DJs.
It was.
So
yes.
I think now with, you know, like figuring out like how can DJs exist in the online ecosystem, you know, because technically the music we play, we don't own, but they want us to play the music. You know, like we're like we are a promotional tool for a lot of the artists, for a lot of the music. And I feel, you know, what ends up happening is when many artists first come out, they over leverage their relationships with the DJs. But as they get, you know, bigger, they don't really need us. So it's a very weird cycle and space to live in. So I feel like COVID really, really allowed to put the DJ back front and center and really show people that we are the pulse. We know what's going on, because sometimes you have all of these companies, they spend these millions and millions of dollars to promote these songs, but the DJs are really the ones that's putting things in position, seeing what's going on in the street, what's going on in the clubs, what's going on the stores. I think we're like the translators for everything that's going on in the culture.
That's true, because you already can know, hey, this is going to work. This actually has a sound that I think will definitely resonate with my people. That is true. If money was no object and you could put a festival on with your top five DJs, who are they?
I mean, if I had to throw together a really, really good party right now, like a really good festival, I'm going to get Walshy Fire from Major Lazer, which we've done before. I'm going to get my OG DJ Lefty. Let's see. If I could bring him back, he's still alive. DJ Mr. C is always somebody I wanted to book for a party.
Nice.
Let's see who else?
Two more slots.
Two more. Man, that's tough. That's tough. I would actually like to see. I guess this is mentioning both. Like I mentioned DJ Lefty as an individual, but I would like to book the whole Lights Out DJs, which was a crew that he was a part of. They're really, really big in Cape Verdean music. Oh. I would like to have them come back together and play a set. And my last pick, I think it's tough because there's so many different genres that I'm into that I'm trying to think cross genre, like just beyond just hip hop and R&B, you know? Huh. Yeah, that last one's a toss up, because I could say, you know, somebody like Natasha Diggs, I feel like she would be dope. Abashi would be dope. A-Track would be dope. You know, these are all people that's coming to mind. Obviously, I feel like Jazzy Jeff's like a very, very easy answer.
I'm surprised you did not name yourself.
Yeah, but you know, I feel like sometimes when somebody asks you, like if you're an artist, they ask you, yo, what's your favorite song? And you say your own song. I just feel like granted, you know, you're always gonna like your stuff, but let's show the range, let's show the taste too, you know?
Good point. Will we hear any of your original production at the BAMS Fest coming up this weekend?
Yeah, I'm going to let a few ring off.
Okay. Nice. And how can people actually follow you on social?
Instagram, Twitter, at Where's Nasty, at Stay Silent PVD. See everything we got going on in the New England region or any of the parties I'm playing outside of here as well.
Thanks again to Where's Nasty. You can check them out. It's going to be BAMS Fest. It's going to be epic this whole weekend, June 29th, June 30th, Franklin Park Playstead. Bring your chairs. But I feel like based on the way he's actually talking about music, you're going to probably not really be sitting down too much. He's probably just going to get you up and just jump in as soon as he hits. Are you bringing turntables? Are you bringing your controller? Are you bringing CDJs? What you bringing?
I like playing off CDJs and I like festivals just because people, you know, jumping up and down, all that stuff is like CDJs. You don't have to deal with the elements.
Okay.
Like turntables, you know, your record's going to stick and all that stuff. I learned my lesson.
So you got the CDJ 3000s, which you rocking?
I love the 3000. 3000 or the 2000, I'm not picking.
Okay, well, looking forward to seeing you on stage. Definitely throwing a big up to you, throwing a big up to Catherine BAMS Fest, the whole collective. Can't wait to check them out. You've been listening to DJ Mo Wilkes, yours truly, on The Secret Spot, which is on 88.9. And thank you again, my man. Where's Nasty? Looking forward to checking you out.
Yeah, appreciate you.
Thanks for listening and joining us today. I'm DJ Mo Wilkes from Studio 88.9.